death category where, you know, the numbers are irrelevant. Like, I just think there are certain individuals, and yeah. Bonds was this way. There are certain individuals, like, the numbers mean nothing.
No, they mean...
I mean, they're incredible, right. Eye-popping numbers. But once you get to the championship zone, all the regular season stuff becomes mute, which is unfair.
But it was admittedly, though, that even though he won Super Bowls, Mahomes was not playing at the level that we're accustomed to seeing Mahomes play at. And even that was... Watcher, you can't say that about Brock Purdy. He's not playing like... I remember the blowback. I was like, dude, he's playing like an MVP. And it turned out he was an MVP candidate. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HG1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Herm Edwards going to join us at 7:20 here. 7:20, head coach, former head coach, now with ESPN or whatnot. Now, when we get to Andy Reid and Shanahan, this is fascinating because everybody, you're right. Shanahan is a rock star, and he's polarizing. I saw this from Josh Duvall the other day from the Associated Press, and he always has these numbers and whatnot. I don't know how he cranks them up. I want to run this by you because we always compare Shanahan to Andy Reid. I want to get into their coaching trees here. Andy Reid, Belichick, and Walsh, because Andy Reid has been really, really good, and now he's getting all the credit he deserves. He's been a head coach for 26 years. But Shanahan, what is this, year 8 as head coach of the 49ers, which is crazy. 124 coaches have coached 40-plus regular season games decided by 7 points or fewer in NFL history. 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan has a .378 winning percentage in those games, and it ranks 119th. In games decided by 7 points or fewer in NFL history, Shanahan's winning percentage is less than 40%. That ranks 119th. When I throw that number at you, and I throw that at you, Shasky. What does that mean to you?
I mean, I would like to see the rest of that list just to see where all the other people are. I mean, they blow a lot of teams out.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, like they blow a lot of teams out. So, you know, I'm sure that this number, like I'm sure Harbaugh's percentage was a lot. I don't know if he played in 47 point or fewer games, but the way they play football, like Harbaugh's team, they want to win a 20-18 game. Right. Like they just want to win that way. They love it. Like, yeah, that's how we play. Kyle's like, yeah, I'm going to blow your doors off, you know, and I want to smoke you. There is something to be said, like in these tight games that you can't win. I admit, I'm shocked by that number. 38%. That's a crazy number. What's Andy Reid's?
Well, Andy Reid, at one point, you know, he gets compared to Shanahan gets compared to Andy Reid a lot. Now, Andy Reid's probably playing a lot more games, and I'm guessing the winning percentage is a lot better. He's probably not 119th, right? Because you think about his winning percentage all time, he's won like 66% of his games as head coach in 26 years as a head coach. All the NFC championships, all the AFC championships for Andy Reid, and all the wins that he's had, what he has, 263 wins all time?
So you said 40 games. Right?
40 games.
That's how many Shanahan's had?
Yep.
Okay, were 7 of them in the first year with a crappy quarterback?
Well, the first year, remember, they lost 5 straight games by 3 points or less.
Okay, so now we're down to 35.
That was an expansion team.
No, this is interesting.
That was an expansion team.
Right, so now we're down to 35, right? So I kind of throw those out, like, you know? And then I'm like, all right, how many of those were Beathard games the year of COVID? How many of these were Nick Mullins games?
Exactly.
How many of these were some Jimmy G games?
Exactly.
You know, what's the number with Purdy? That's the question I would like to know.
Well, they've blown a lot of guys out with Purdy. And now, not only have they blown a lot of guys out, I'm thinking about the close games. Detroit NFC Championship game, Green Bay, Dallas, Seattle was close for a while. Those three games right there, just Dallas, Green Bay, Detroit, playoff games.
Playoff games, yeah.
They won those games.
Lost the Super Bowl.
Lost the Super Bowl.
I'm just trying to be fair here.
They lost the Super Bowl. Yeah. We all know that. That goes without saying.
Well, no, I know, but it was like a 7-point or less game.
It goes without saying. So that's 3-1 right there. It's 3-1 right there. Now they lost to the Rams this year. 7 points or less.
I'm not trying to say like I throw out the stuff before Purdy. I would like to know more context of how many of those close games Purdy. Now we know he lost the Cleveland game, which was a close field goal game.
Lost the Cleveland game. He lost the Minnesota game. That's 2 right there.
Yeah.
Purdy the year before. They didn't lose too many games that year. Purdy came in. They were rolling, right? I don't think he lost a game in a regular season.
They won the overtime game against the Raiders the year before.
In Vegas. Yep.
Again, I'm just trying to go.
They blew out Tampa Bay. They blew out the Commanders.
I bet you that number is over 50% with Purdy.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree with that.
You know?
I agree with
that. Because I think that matters. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I look at.
They won a lot of close games with Jimmy, too, though.
A lot of close games for Jimmy.
The Arizona games,
for sure.
Both of them, the one on Halloween in 2019, yeah. Where he threw four over 400 when he said, that's right, baby. What was the tagline to Aaron Andrews?
Feels great, baby.
Feels great, baby. Yeah, feels great, baby. And then he had the one when it came back 16-0, Richie James Jr. and the Texas route to Jeff Wilson Jr. That was 7 points or less. Did Superdome, 48-46. The last game of the regular season in Seattle that they won with Jerry Grelaw making a tackle. So they won a lot of close games with Jimmy as well. Apparently, John Madden's number one on that list is 71% from the 7-3-4. So
that was 50 years ago. But that's interesting.
So I think that number is skewed because of the first two seasons.
That's having those
back quarterbacks.
And I don't want to sound like I'm caping up for Shanahan. I think that historical context matters.
Well, I just think that a lot of people, as we get into this coaching tree here, a lot of people are just, you know, Andy Reid. I talked to a lot of people about Philly. Obviously, one of my good friends, Philly Zoo. Lived in Philly during the Andy Reid era. And we talked to Jason Dumas about it. And he did get forced out. But it felt like after 14 years, maybe it was time. It was time to separate.
It's a long time.
And you don't come up short. And they had a great run in Philadelphia. Boy, he made the Eagles relevant. He made them relevant. They became a must-use team on Madden. The jerseys were selling off the chain. Philly was on prime time all the time. I mean, they were doing everything. But he eventually got ran out of Philadelphia. And Shanahan gets compared to him all the time. And you already hear the noise this season. You hear the noise. Boy, if they don't make the Super Bowl, they're going to be on a hot seat or this and that, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, boy, we sure are we ready for this? Because at one point, it felt like they forced out George Seifert. They did force out George Seifert. And two Super Bowl wins.
Look at this. Look at his like just regular season and playoff record. He was really good. But he couldn't get past one team.
Couldn't get past the Green Bay Packers.
They had his number. I mean, let's just...
Mike Holmgren had his number. And yeah. They were both coaches together with the 49ers, part of that Bill Walsh coaching tree, which you'll get into here. I hope it doesn't end like Andy Reid. Like, Shanahan has been so close, and I hope we don't get to that point where he gets forced out. Because all of a sudden, you see Andy Reid get a rebirth in Kansas City, and all of a sudden, he goes from, boy, this guy's not getting to the Hall of Fame, can't win a big one, to he's on a Mount Rushmore of coaches. Like, that's what we're dealing with Andy Reid. Think about that. Think about how we felt before him, before 2019 and Super Bowl 54, and how we feel about Andy Reid now. It's unbelievable.
It's night and day.
It's night and day. He's gone from, I can't win the big one, to have his 263 career wins, a 62% winning percentage, and having one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time that he gets credit for.
Look, you show me a great coach, and I'm going to show you probably a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah.
Probably, which like as we talk about great coaches in the history of the game, which is what makes Bill Parcells and Joe Gibbs so unique, is they did it at different times with different quarterbacks, mm-hmm. right? And then I think that those guys kind of stick out. Don Shula as well. I don't want to forget mm-hmm. him going way back into the time machine. But like we're really talking about the big three, right? We're talking about Belichick, Andy Reid, Bill Walsh.
Isn't it crazy that he's part of that big three though? We don't talk about Chuck Knoll and the Pittsburgh Steelers. We don't talk about Tom Landry. We don't talk about Vince Lombardi.
Tom Landry is one of the most evolutionary in terms of the 4-3 defense and what he represented.
Right.
Tom Landry is an all-timer.
All-timer. Paul Brown. And I know it was before the Super Bowl era, but the Cleveland Brown teams. Mm-hmm. Paul Brown was excellent as a coach. And we already catapulted Andy Reid past Vince Lombardi. Past Chuck Knoll won 4 Super Bowls with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, it's just like, let's just go to the 80s, right? How am I supposed to compare? And I just looked at like Belichick's playoff records.
Right.
Right. Just Belichick, for example. Belichick was 31-13 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
31-13. Bill Walsh played in 14 playoff games.
Yeah.
Because he's only there 10 years.
Yep.
Longevity in these conversations really matters. And the way the playoffs are formatted now,
yeah.
they're so different than back in the day. Andy Reid, for example, and I'm just looking at it, 26-16 in the yep. playoffs, right? I mean, these guys
games.
Have two, three times the amount of playoff appearances. So it's really difficult to compare yesterday. Even Bill Walsh, who was just 40 years ago, it's really difficult to compare him to the modern game. It's just so different. Like, this year, Shanahan will surpass playoff games of Bill Walsh if they can make it in and go a couple rounds. He's going to surpass the wins.
It's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
It's kind of...
So it's hard to comp these. Like, so your point about like Chuck Noll, like, that's 50 years ago. It's really difficult to make the comparisons.
And that kind of bothers me, though. Because, Chuck, when you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, they won four Super Bowls. Mean Joe Green. You know, Mel Blount. Rocky Blyer. Franco Harris. Len Stallworth. Lynn Swann. Terry Bradshaw. Think about Jack Lambert. Think about all the Hall of Famers they had on that team. And we don't even talk about Chuck Noll. We go straight Belichick, Walsh, and Andy Reid. And these set of rules, too, when you think about the rule changes and everything that's made offensive football a lot easier for a lot of these teams, which is why it was so funny hearing Mel Kiper Jr. You don't hear anybody talk about two high safeties anymore, right? Guys can go in deep, two high safeties, to learn how to execute, all right? That was one of the dumbest things I've heard in the last 15 years. Cannot believe it. And I love you. Well, not really. The eras are different. You're right about that. And then when I think about Belichick and the Patriots, the AFC East was so bad. The division title was theirs.
But the rule changes, I also believe, have skewed toward offense. And like, if let's say Belichick came in today, would he be the same kind of coach that he was in his era? Probably not. He'd be different.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, the rules are so, because is that, like, Brady's talked about it. While I was playing, the rule changes on defense. All of a sudden, the middle of the field wasn't a war zone for my guys to get basically deheaded. Mm-hmm. Now, like, I can use the full field. It's just the game is very different. It's evolving.
Let's get into it with Coach Herm Edwards here. Coach Herm Edwards on the other side. We'll get into this coaching conversation as well as break down Sunday's game between the Niners and the Chiefs. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises.
What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the morning roast with Fontaine and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yay!
What's going on, Roasters? What's going on? Baldy tomorrow in studio. Cannot wait to have breakfast with Baldy. We're going to have a lot of fun today, though, as we get set up for Baldy. We're going to have some listeners coming in as well.
Did you see who's giving us food for tomorrow?
Yeah, Jack's Restaurant. Come on now.
Jack's Restaurant.
They always come through.
Pleasant Hill, San Bruno.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Let's go.
All over the Bay Area. And they're opening up a cantina.
Westgate Shopping Center.
Opening up a cantina.
I can't wait for food tomorrow.
I can't wait for food after the show.
I'm going to get a big workout in tomorrow morning and for Baldy. You know, got to look a little swelt. Got to get my pump on and then just eat all the protein I possibly can.
Baldy, it'd be a lot of fun.
I have always never used steroids, period.
No, I will use them if they're, you know, can help me shred, you know?
After watching a Vince McMahon doc, he definitely used a lot of steroids.
Well, and he did something to his lips.
Well, he did. He's done a lot
of
bad things.
The whole thing is weird.
You want to talk about you want to talk about who... The Vince McMahon character was just Vince McMahon.
100%.
That's what it was. Poor Shane O'Mac.
Oh,
Shane McMahon. That
play
whole
his theme song, please.
Oh, my
brother, when he would come out stomping Shane Mack, my brother would get so excited.
When he came back and he almost teared up with the fans going crazy over him.
Hey, for real,
and
though?
Vince was just laughing. Vince is... So
out of their minds. He would jump off that cage.
Oh.
McMahon, the son, Shane Mack, he was a savage.
Oh, dude, he did stuff to just turn.
Money. Thank
you.
Money
talk.
Here comes the money.
His sons
came. His sons came out with him as well. Oh, dude, it was.
Dude, I got goosebumps.
Vince is not letting that company go. What a weird... That doc is just... And they asked all these wrestlers and all the people, like, what's Vince's legacy? And they were like, they didn't know what to say.
Well, what can you say? You might need that check at some point, even though he doesn't own the company anymore. No,
he's something else, man. The most wanted tickets in the Bay Area are here. It's Hip Hop Made the Bay, starring Too Short, Ja Rule, Bone Thugs, and DJ Quick, Friday, November 1st at the SAP Center. Tickets are selling fast. Get yours now at Ticketmaster.com. That guy was ruthless, man. I mean, Vince is...
Where is Ja?
Oh, gosh, I can't believe some of the things that happened in that documentary, man.
If you had to be a wrestler, what kind of wrestling persona? You'd be the king, right?
I don't know what persona.
Well, you'd come out like Jerry the King Lawler.
What would your persona?
Jerry the King Lawler is my guy. I did like him. I would be Bobby the Brain Heenan. I love Bobby the Brain Heenan.
So are you more of like a hype man?
Yeah, more of a hype man.
Oh.
A manager, if you will.
Jimmy Hart.
Would you be heavyweight division or
all the divisions? I mean, Bobby the Brain Heenan was tag team manager. Uh-huh. He was Intercontinental, Mr. Perfect's manager. Uh-huh. He managed everybody. Kind of like our boy, who's it, Paul Heyman.
Yeah, see, if I had to create a persona, Shawn Michaels is at the top of my list.
Brock Purdy!
Not one of the biggest guys. Not one of the biggest guys, but the showstopper.
He was sick.
Come on.
Kurt Angle was always one of my favorites.
He's so cringe.
Come on, Kurt Angle.
No, he was so good. On the mic, he was a heel, but a self-deprecating heel.
Ever hit said,
me,
Monte.
Hit me.
And you've said a lot of white things.
Hit me. So good. Come on, give me a tagline,
Spadoni. There's three eyes, Joe Chasky.
Put on it.
You got to remember them. It's integrity.
Oh.
Intensity.
Damn right.
And intelligence.
I love it.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
It's damn true. Where's that Olympic gold medal? Come on now. Kurt, Brett, the way they did Bret Hart with the Montreal screw job was just all time, just low and dirty, just shameful by Vince and the WWE. I mean, Bret Hart was just all time iconic. Undertaker goes without saying.
So now I'm going to ask this question. If you were to pick one Bay Area sports athlete to be your tag team partner all time, who is it?
Oh, my gosh. All time?
I already know who I'm going with.
I mean, it might be Draymond or Charles Haley.
For you?
Yeah.
You got to pick one.
Tag team partner. You going Kittle?
No.
Who are you going with?
No. You need the silent strong type.
Leo the Lion?
Somebody.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a great one.
I'm going David West.
Oh, wow.
David West. Because David West, he doesn't need to talk much.
No, he doesn't. No, that's a good pull.
Right?
The other guy that
I was thinking about who would be part of our posse is obviously Bill Romanowski.
Oh, my God.
You got to have Romo, right?
What about Justice Smith?
You need to have somebody with screw loose.
What about Justice Smith?
Cowboy's not bad.
He's not bad.
Cowboy's not
gotta
bad.
Have a screw loose.
You know? Am I wrong?
He's got to have a screw loose. Draymond might be my guy.
I don't know if Draymond would play well with you.
He'll turn. Yeah, he'll turn.
He turns on you.
That would be great. Oh, Bonte. He just DDTs me. All right, man. Let's bring in our main man, Coach Herm Edwards, of course, formerly New York Jets, Kansas City Chiefs, now at ESPN. He's joining us here on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And, of course, Herm Edwards, man, we love having him on the show. Herm, good morning to you, man. We got a big game on Sunday. And we're just talking about the coaches, like all-time coaches. And it's fascinating to me, Coach. Andy Reid's reputation before Super Bowl 54 in 2019 to what it is right now. And we've had some great head coaches in this league. Great head coaches. And, you know, Andy Reid's on that Mount Rushmore probably now with Bill Walsh and Bill Belichick. But we've forgotten so many great coaches like Chuck Noll of Pittsburgh, John Madden, Tom Flores, Paul Brown, Vince Lombardi. But isn't it fascinating how Andy Reid has flipped his reputation by just winning a couple Super Bowls?
Well, no doubt. And I mean, his longevity obviously has something to do with that as well. Having a good quarterback helps.
But no doubt.
Andy, I go way back with Andy. I can remember when I first got into the profession, I was a scout for the Chiefs. And Andy was at the University of Missouri. He was the offensive line coach, a young offensive line coach, just trying to coach offensive linemen, you know, and he worked his way in the NFL and obviously really came off the West Coast tree. You can say Holmgren and those guys. Mm-hmm. He was up in Green Bay. And then from there, you know, he went to Philly, obviously had a really good stint there, and then went to Kansas City, and he's doing a marvelous job. And you're right, he'll go down as one of the better coaches ever to coach the game.
It's interesting, Coach. Like, from a coaching perspective, I saw this number being floated around the internet in terms of all the buys he's had in his career for his team, whether it's playoffs or regular season. Andy Reid is 28-3 coming off a bye week where he's had time to prepare. What does that mean to you as a coach? Why is that an important stat?
Well, I think, you know, when you get that bye, first of all, your players are getting healed up. And then as a staff, you know, you get together and try to figure out at that point in time, depending on how many games you play, what are we? You know, what kind of team are we? And every year, you know, it kind of changes. People think, well, you know, no, it changes according to the players you have. Now, when you have the quarterback that they have, obviously, you know, we know we're set there. But then the pieces around the quarterback, you know, how do we make that work, right? And we know they have Kelce. They've got a bunch of young receivers, but then they're kind of in and out of line due to injury. You know, so all these things matter defensively, scheme-wise. Are we going to become a more zone team now because of, you know, whatever? Are we going to become more man-to-man and bring pressure? I mean, so all these things are discussed during the bye week.
You know, Coach, what makes it difficult to prepare for Andy Reid coach team? We talk about the bye week record, but I think this guy has had, he's coached in the league as a head coach for 26 years. He's been in the league for 33 years, but it's just a head coach term. He's never won less than 8 games 3 times. He had 3 seasons where he's won less than 8 games, which is crazy. But what makes it difficult when you're preparing for an Andy Reid coach team?
Well, obviously offensively, you know, he is going to attack your deficiencies on defense. You know, he's going to have a way to do that with motion, formations. And, you know, it's all a matter of in that first period of play, those first 12 or 14 plays, he's looking, you know, he's trying to figure out what you're going to do when he gives you this look, when he gives you this look with this personnel group. So he's constantly changing personnel groups. There's constantly motion. You know, he's going to figure out what you're trying to play on him, and then from there he attacks it. You know, the game's all about adjusting. Mm-hmm. You know, when you line up in formations and you have personnel groups and you start in motion, is he more man-to-man? Is he a two-shell? If that's the case, and we can run it a little bit more, he's going to attack the deficiencies of the coverage you're in.
Coach, if you're from the 49ers perspective, you lost this team in the Super Bowl. And look, it's a regular season game. It's not the end-all, be-all. And I know the players have been indicating, hey, we've moved on from the Super Bowl. It's just another game. But we know it means a little something different. You know, you're in that room. You're preparing here. What does it mean to guys that were on the team last year and were on the staff? We know it still stings, and you want to win the game, right?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, not only that, I think, don't lose sight of this. I mean, this is the measuring stick. The Kansas City Chiefs are the measuring stick. I mean, if you want to participate in the Super Bowl, this is the team. And, you know, this is what the Kansas City Chiefs face every week, not just against the 49ers, mm-hmm. but against every team. You're going to get their best shot. And Patrick Mahomes will tell you, I'm not playing good. He's correct. He's not. He's thrown as many interceptions as he has touchdowns. But what this team can do when you boil it down and it gets into the fourth quarter and the game is close, they know how to close games out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference, guys. I mean, that's what makes them unique. We saw this with the New England Patriots when Captain America was the quarterback. Right, and Captain America, obviously, is Tom Brady. I call him Captain America, and you know they close games out. I mean, when big moments occur, when you got to make plays on offense or defense, these guys seem to come up with the play to close the game out.
Wow,
and that's just the way it is. It's just, and that's where the 49ers, the last couple weeks when they were struggling and they weren't finishing games, guys. That's why they lost. It wasn't like they were getting blown out. They were in the games, but they just weren't finishing them. Now, a bit of their problem is on offense, you know, I mean, I'm going to say it. Half of their offense is with the guy that ain't playing right now, McCaffrey. When he don't play in that offense, it's different, guys. And Mason's done a fabulous job, and I get all that. But at the end of the day, when you have McCaffrey, it's a whole – You got a handful when that guy's back there, because he's going to run it, but here's what he's really going to do. He's going to catch it. And the problem is, when he's in the game and they throw him a pass, they're always in second and four. This offense is about moving the chains, right? Mm-hmm. That's how they get you, man. Well, Mason can't catch the ball like McCaffrey. He's a unique guy. Think about the history of this guy.
Yeah.
His dad, look, I go way back with the McCaffrey family. Played against his daddy, coached against his son. They were all receivers. He just happened to be a running back. I tell people all the time, he's inherited receiver skills because everyone in the family played wide out. And the mom is probably the fastest of the group because she was the track runner.
that's such a good point, Coach. We're talking to Coach Herb Edwards here on the River Islands guest line. Always fun to have him on a morning roast, man. That's such a good point about McCaffrey and his family lineage here. And you talked about closing. And obviously the Niners haven't closed that Super Bowl, or didn't close the Super Bowls against the Kansas City Chiefs. Is it more simply because they don't have McCaffrey? Because it seems to be a stigma with Kyle Shanahan. I don't blame him for the Super Bowl with Atlanta. He wasn't the head coach. He was the offensive coordinator. They put the 28-3 lead. It's hard for me to blame Shanahan for that. But when you look at the 49ers and all the close games they have lost and have a 10-point lead or not being able to come back in the fourth quarter, what is the missing ingredient when it comes to closing a football game, especially a big game?
Well, and you know, like defensively, you're going to have to make some critical stops. And I think, you know, when you watch him play with McCaffrey, obviously they can get it done offensively. On the other side of the ball, defensively, can you make the plays in the back end of your defense when people are throwing the ball? Can you get off the field, right? And as of late, there are some games where these guys have given up some big passes, right? And that's generally not them. They generally don't do that. But that's kind of been their Achilles heel, guys, if you watch them play. They've given up at the wrong time the big pass play. And whether it's catch and run, whether it's, you know, now the secondary's been a little bit wounded. There's been guys in and out of that. I get all that. But that's where it all – because, guys, let me tell you something. When you're leading in a game, the thing you better understand is two things got to show up: pass rush and secondary. You got to show up. So that's where you're getting attacked. But that's what this game evolves to, guys. It's a quarterback-driven game, and when you're playing against good quarterbacks and they have the possession, they have the last possession, your pass rush and your secondary has to make plays.
Yeah. Coach, we in San Francisco, we've talked a lot about special teams and just they haven't been good, and it's been like a mixed bag.
No,
take me through as a coach how do you balance this out? You got a lot of injuries, so you have guys that are normally on special teams now playing defense as opposed to special teams. You're probably not practicing it as much as you would like. Like, walk me through how you adjust and fix your special teams when you know it's a glaring issue.
Well, and you're right. It's a third of the plays that you play. You know, whether you're kicking it, punting it, receiving it, however you want to look at it. And, you know, in big moments, they kill you. Especially, you know, at times we've watched a lot of these games. It isn't unusual anymore where kickers, you know, 50-yard kicks are like 35-yard kicks and more. And all of a sudden, when you miss some kicks or you mishandle a punt, I've always said this, and I don't know the stat anymore, but it used to be, when you blocked a punt and ran it in for a touchdown, 90% of the chance, 90% of the time, guys, you won the game on a blocked punt for a touchdown. 90% of the chance, you're going to win that game. It was eerie. It was an eerie stat, man. And, you know, I just think sometimes guys are a little bit careless about special teams, you know, like this new kickoff rule. They call it dynamic. I don't know how dynamic it is, but you know, it really hasn't become what we thought it was going to become. Right. And I understand why they're doing it. They're doing it to protect the players. I get all that. I got no problem with that, but it's just a play where they thought, well, if we do it this way, people won't go to the refrigerator and, you know, get a beverage or whatever, because no one wants to watch a kickoff because they kick it in the end zone. Nobody returns it. Well, basically, people are still going to refrigerate on the kick that, because it ain't turning out real good, guys. When I look at it, I'm like, okay, you know, I get it. But special teams, you're right, is a big part of it, and generally, special teams are going to win they're going to win two or three games for you.
Yeah, and they could certainly lose games for you, as we see with the 49ers and two of these three losses here. Minnesota and, of course, the L.A. Rams when they ran the fake punt and had the big punt return at the end of the game. We're talking to Coach Herm Edwards here on the River Islands guest line. Coach, I got to ask you this, because we're talking about Purdy and how productive he is, and you mentioned how McCaffrey's been out, and that's been a difference. There's no doubt in the red zone. The Niners were, what, 9-24 in the red zone so far this season? I could be wrong there. I got to update my math, but they haven't been good in the red zone. This Chiefs defense, how do the Niners move the ball against this Chiefs defense that's become one of the better units in all of football?
Well, I think, you know, I, for me, it's kind of like the same thing that the Chiefs have. Who can cover Kittle? Nobody. Who can cover Kelce? Nobody. And I think you got to run it a little bit more with Kittle being involved in the passing game. He doesn't get enough passes, in my opinion. Kittle can be like Kelce.
Yeah.
He's a handful of guys. And you know, at times they use him, but he doesn't catch as many balls as I'm like, hey, man, this dude needs – now, they started targeting him here, a couple weeks. I mean, a week ago, they started getting him the ball. I said, to me, that's the guy that has to catch the ball for, because he can make up – he's really the go-to guy, right in those easy zones, right over the ball and, you know, against linebackers. I mean, you get him matched up against guys, man, this dude is a weapon. So, for me, I think he's got to be more involved in the offense. You know, Ayuk, when he was out, obviously, he was a little rusty. He missed all that time. Any guy that misses time, but now he's back in the groove a little bit. Debo's the guy that's kind of interesting. You know, at times, he's quiet. I mean, you don't hear from him, right? I mean, you go through, like, first half of the game, you say, where's Debo? Why does he catch the ball like this? Or whatever. So, I just think it's one of those deals where, you know, I think Purdy's an efficient quarterback. He does a nice job, doesn't turn the ball over a whole lot at all. He's trying to make more plays and extend plays with his legs, and it almost looks – it's like, ooh. It doesn't look natural, but he does it.
Right.
He makes some plays. You know, I mean, this offense is based on timing, guys. This is the West Coast offense. I mean, you know, they want to play from the pocket. They want to get the ball out to their pass catchers who can run after the catch. So – that's how the West Coast system was evolved through Bill Walsh. But, you know, look, this is a team that has playoff experience. They're a good football team. The expectations are always high on them. You would say right now, if you were looking at teams in the NFC, like, I get it, the Minnesota Vikings are 5-0. That whole division, that division was 17-5 or something like that.
They're legit in the North. That's the toughest division of football.
So, you know, I think the team everyone's looking at now, especially after when they went to Dallas, because they bullied them, was the Detroit Lions. They went and bullied the Cowboys, guys. That was a bully game. They walked into their home and bullied them. And it was like, this is what we're going to do to you, and you ain't going to stop us. And they didn't. They sent a message, I think, to the National Football League with that win in Dallas.
Coach, I'm not going to waste your time and ask you who's going to win or anything like that. We were having fun before this segment, and I was joking around like, hey, if I had to pick a tag team partner in Bay Area sports history for athletes, I might pick Bill Romanowski to be my tag team partner because, you know, Romo's a little out there. You know, I might need somebody to back me up. If you were to put together a tag team of who your partner would be for you in this hypothetical, of all the guys you coached or played with, who would it be?
And I'm playing what? So what are we doing?
You're doing WWE wrestling.
Yeah, your tag team. Your tag team champ, coach.
WWE wrestling?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, who would I take? Of all the guys?
Yeah, like, would you take, you know, I don't know if you ever, like, for example, Barcells might take, you know, Lawrence Taylor. He would want Lawrence Taylor on his team.
Oh, okay, I got you. I would probably take, let me think who I would take. Oh boy, I played with some interesting guys. I gotta get one of the. You asked me to get one of the crazy guys, right?
Yeah,
or it could be anybody. Could be
Sapp
in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, anybody. Oh, well, you just mentioned it.
More Sapp?
Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, Lawrence Taylor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something now. I was in that era when he played. Oh, man. No, he was – this is how good he was. Generally, when the defense goes off the field, you know, you sit on the bench and people are coaching you up. When we used to play against the Giants, the first series or two, all the defensive players would stand up just to watch this guy. Because we can't block him. We can't block him. We can't block him. 56, we can't block this dude, man. And it was like, it was almost like, this is a crying shame. He's getting ready to wreck the game. Hey. I mean, we said that as a defense. Right? That's how good this dude was. I mean, he was unbelievable.
Man. I missed that era. I missed that era so much. I mean, they had Pepper Johnson, yeah, Leonard Marshall, Carl Banks. Yeah. I mean, Harry Carey. Then you had Washington with Charles Mann and Dexter Manley. What the hell was going on in the NFC East back in those days?
And then with that, he like, watch this one. How about Randy White?
Wow. With Dallas Cowboys, yeah.
How about Randy White? Half man, half monster. That's what you call that dude, man. That dude was something now. So he was like, whoa. I saw Randy White running back down about 50 yards, running back broke, and he ran him down. I said, who is that dude, man? He said, that's Randy White. I said, he's a damn defensive lineman. How can he run that fast? He was unbelievable, too, man. He was a good player. They were back in the day, man. There were some good players back in the day.
Well, hopefully Bosa could become one of those players. He had a hell of a game last week. He's going to need a hell of a game this week against Mahomes and company here. We'll see about this pass rush. Home, Kirks, we got to talk to you soon, man. We'll do it again within the next month, man. You're always good to us, man. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you, guys.
You're the best.
Anytime. Coach Herm Edwards here on the morning roast. And Lawrence Taylor, man, we stand up and just watch him wreck the game.
Okay.
So did you see, you follow this NFL historic page?
Oh, yeah.
On Instagram?
Oh, yeah.
You see the photos they had yesterday?
Yeah, the Brian Cox one with the Dolphins was incredible that you posted.
Yeah, I mean, the neck roll, because he always had that. Oh, yeah. He knew him. But in this photo, you had Brian Bosworth.
Oh, jeez.
You had Walter Payton with the headband. Yeah, Terrell Suggs with this crazy face mask, looked like the Terminator. And then you had Lawrence Taylor at the end with the Super Bowl Lombardi trophy with the crazy haircut and the Jesus piece in his ear. Or no, the LT piece in his ear. Like, LT, I wish fans, youngsters, go just pull up YouTube and watch Lawrence Taylor. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Okay, Bonte, we have a lot to get into today. Yeah. And you're going to be mad at me, but I started putting together imaginary tag teams with names of Bay Area athletes. Would you like to see some of the ones I wrote down?
Yeah, let me correct myself first on the red zone stuff. The Niners are now 12 of 27 in the red zone, 44.4%. Not good, but the Chiefs are worse.
Can you imagine? Close your eyes. Well, don't close them if you're driving, all right? Two guys that look like they're police officers, sheriffs, okay? Will Clark and Jeff Kent. They come out as Border Patrol.
Oh, that's their tag team? Oh, you're coming up with tag team names? Oh, wow.
Okay. Trent Williams and Debo, the Beatbox Boys. Come on, you like that one.
That Border Patrol is a borderline. I don't know.
I'm just going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave that alone.
Charles Haley and Bill Romanowski are a tag team. Unnecessary Roughness.
All right.
Come on, that's a great name.
What is going on here?
Here we go. The Sharpshooters. Manager, Chris Mullen. Okay? Chris Mullen. Curry and Clay. Pretty straightforward. The guy that kicked out of the group was the Slim Reaper.
Oh.
He's a solo act now. He doesn't do tag teams. How about this? Kung Fu Panda and Boogie Bear. Kevin Mitchell and Pablo Sandoval. Oh,
man. What's their name?
I don't know. I just think you call them Kung Fu Panda and Boogie Bear. And here's my other favorite one. Ranch Hands. Madison Bumgarner and Justin Smith, dressed as cowboys.
Ranch Hands is their name? Ranch Hands?
And then my favorite one.
Oh, gosh.
Their name is absolutely incredible. It's Trayvon and Kittle.
Absolutely incredible.
That's their tag team name?
Yeah,
absolutely incredible.
Absolutely incredible.
We got to work on that name.
I think it's a great name.
We got to work on it.
Do you know you didn't like those?
No, needs a little work, but I see the vision.
So like Big Boss Man, you know, what was the guy's
name? I don't know about Border Patrol.
That's funny. You know, it's a joke.
No, I know it is, but I don't.
Can't you imagine Jeff Kent pulling up like a CHP with the mustache?
Yeah, but you want Border Patrol with it, so it makes it like...
I was trying to think of a good name.
Just call them Highway Patrol.
Just call them the Big Boss Man. Like Big Boss Man with the WWF, when he used to be the Big Boss Man. Just call him Big Boss Man. I don't know.
That's stupid. Don't say that again.
I mean, like, see, 510's coming in. The Bash Bros are already a tag team. Love that.
They are. Back to the Chiefs and the Niners. Where we got out of
and like I was thinking like Smoke and Steel,
oh,
right?
Oh man.
Dave Stewart, Ricky Henderson.
That's not bad.
Smoke and Steel.
That's not bad.
Isn't that good?
That's not bad.
Come on,
that's
man. Not bad.
That's
come
not
on.
Bad. That's not bad. That's not
We're
bad.
Creating a universe of wrestlers.
You get your Vince McMahon on.
Well, I was thinking of putting together Kevin Durant with Draymond. I was thinking of pairing up Draymond with Jordan Poole. And I was like, all of these would be like breakups. And I wanted to come with him and Pat Bev, but Pat Bev never played in the Bay, and call them the Pod Boys. Or Open Mic.
Oh, my God.
Come on, man.
Open Mic.
They're cutting promos. They get in the middle of the ring and set up the podcast and stuff like that. And they all just sit down. It's actually kind of funny.
That's oh what, see, you got to laugh a little. Let's laugh a little. Let's have fun.
I am laughing. I just, oh, gosh.
Do you like ranch hands?
After talking to Herb about football, I'm just going back during the interview. Shasky is not even here. He's taking about tag team names, and we got Coach Herb Edwards on the line, and we're talking to him about Chiefs Niners, and my guy's over here thinking about wrestling tag team
like
writing it down during the Herb Edwards video.
Madbone and Justin Smith are just wearing Wranglers and cowboy boots, and they're coming out, just the two of them, just straight country music. They're wearing hats, cowboy. I mean, that's Kittle. That's why I almost feel like Kittle and Drake couldn't be a tag team together. They just couldn't do it together.
Oh, my gosh. I'm not going to read this name from the 510. I'm not going to read that name at all.
Oh, Greenlaw and Drake.
Oh, my gosh. Not going to. Don't even say that out loud. Don't even say that out loud. Please don't. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's tempting, but do not say that.
How did I not put Greenlaw in here? Greenlaw's got to be
I'm
in
just
there.
Not gonna, just not going to go there. Curtin Oakland, we open up Pandora's Box. We got Patrick Peterson at 8 o'clock. Patrick Peterson, promise you, we'll get back to Chiefs Niners and recap what Herb Edwards has to say. Curtin Oakland, what's happening?
What's up, Kurt?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I had to jump in on the tag teams. So mine would be tag team name would be called the Unmovable Objects. Oh. And it would be Ted Washington and Sam Adams.
See, now that's genius. Immovable objects. I'm writing them.
There it is. There
I
it
love
is.
That.
Chris A. in Oakland. This is not right, man. 510. It's not right, Chris A. Wiseman and Lance. The Bus Bros.
Oh, my
That's God. Really good.
Oh, my God.
707 Comcast Business Sex Lines.
Trey Lance.
Hufaga and Odom. Call them bad angles.
They would have been a part of Team Angle. The bad ones.
See, this is what I'm talking about. Genius. You have to create universes.
Oh my God!
So he had Ted
Master.
Washington, and who was the other guy?
Sam Adams. Not the beer.
So
not the beer.
Both those guys, I imagine, wearing helmets with no pads in them.
Yeah, I know.
Like, in just, my mind, they, yeah, like, their no, head was so big, there's
had,
no padding.
They had no ear pads. It was just tight on.
They're saying Bonds and McGuire. They could be called the Needle Brothers.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah,
I see here the Turnstiles.
Yeah,
McGlinchey and Feliciano.
Yeah, God, that's,
see, we gotta laugh a little.
It's just
have a little
disrespectful.
Fun.
I'm laughing at the fact that we got Herb Edwards breaking down the game and history, and Shashi's got no pad right now. Wrestling for the entire, we had Herb Edwards on for how long? 20 minutes? And Chris Shasky's sticking a wrestling name through the interview. He's not even here. Oh, Madison. Oh, wow. This is good. Kyle in Oakland. Kyle K in Oakland.
Get it to me.
Madison Bumgarner and Max Muncy. The 3-1-1s.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Basically snitches. They're just basically snitching.
That's hey,
Muncy was on fire last night.
He was on fire.
Five times on base.
Hey, they did get the last laugh against the Padres. 707. I don't know who that pertains to.
I'm sorry, guys. I derailed the segment.
No,
we started talking about wrestling out of nowhere, and I said, you know, I got to create a universe here. Kent and Will Clark would make a great tag team duo, wouldn't they? They're on the same page.
Yeah, but Kent got choked out in the dugout when it mattered.
Oh, dude. Farhan and Gabe Kapler, the unemployables.
I'm not reading that, 707. I'm not going to read that. You see the 707? Comcast Business Text Line, the top. You see that?
I've also had a couple of personal texts. Demetrius Fanning and Fouls and Jordan Poole slip and slide.
Oh, my gosh. Scotty. this is where, you know, it's funny. I just got a text from James Kincaid, not about wrestling. Jimbo. This is where James Kincaid, Jimbo Kincaid, works with the Golden State Warriors. He's been very friendly since he stiffed us for his wedding, and he knew we were going to ice him out.
We're Team RC Davis now.
Yeah, we are Team RC Davis. There's no doubt about that. Team RC all the way. But he's trying so hard to get in our good graces. I'm just happy that Jimbo spent a pretty penny to go see the Padres get shut out in Game 4 in the NLDS. Uh-huh. It's Padres now. But he'd be good with this. He, you know, speaking of wrestling, he told me at media day, he goes, Bonte, I can't watch the Vince McMahon doc because I know it'll ruin it for me.
For sure.
It, just like Ric Flair. I watched it 30 for 30. I said, damn it, ruined it for me.
Yeah, I feel
it
you.
Ruined Ric Flair. I can't even brag about it no more.
I watched the Pete Rose second. I'm like, oh, great. Well, there goes him out the window.
Porter Patrol, man.
Hey, come on, that was funny. We got to laugh a little, people.
Oh, my gosh.
Tongue in cheek.
Oh, man. Dublin March, random, hashtag random, Dublin March. Shout out to Lonzo Ball. Come back after 2.5 years. I did feel good for him. He looked really good. I know. I'm not going to. Don't read that. I heard you. Don't. Everybody sees the text line. Just asking. We see it. I'm not going to read these. Farhan and Jeff Fisher, the pity pitchers.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one.
That's not bad.
Jeff Fisher or John Fisher?
Here's a great one. Purdy and Curry, the choir boys. That's good. I like that.
The choir boys. See, I get a soft connotation with that. Because they're Purdy. Purdy and Curry some cold-blooded killers.
Oh, dude. Some of these Jimmy G. Wiggins ones.
Yeah, I'm not going to read that. I'm not reading that. Nope. Not fair. Not right. Not right. See, you did it. You did it.
I am imagining in this universe that we've created, Joe Lacob would own the company the way that the cons own. What is the other company called?
Oh, AEW?
Yeah, yeah.
They do own that. Is AEW getting any traction?
I don't know.
I think they'll eventually have a merger, kind of like how they did with WCW and WWE. I think that'll eventually be what it was.
They'll buy about.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They'll have a draft.
All right. Mark from San Jose says he has the perfect tag team name.
I want it. Perfect I want tag it. Team. We'll get back into good football stuff. I'm sorry. I apologize.
You're good.
You guys ready?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Fight Club. Latrell Sprewell and Draymond Green.
Dre works for so many things.
Adam, it's too much.
I honest to gosh think that, like, you know the way Rodman did Bash at the Beach? I think that Draymond, if he did enter the WWE universe, would be unbelievable.
Oh, he'd be next level.
He'd be old. Like, I mean this with, like, the highest respect. He would be phenomenal.
No doubt.
He would be phenomenal.
No doubt. No doubt. Because in wrestling now, people love the bad guys. And that's the one thing in the Vince doc was like, he's right. The whole good old boy, good guy, bad guy. That was out the window. If you were a bad guy, they loved you.
NWO, New World Order.
New World Order.
That's what we liked.
New World Order.
But Dre's got the athleticism, the size, all that stuff. It's like he's a showman. He understands how to get the crowd. Could you imagine him cupping his ears to a crowd that hated him?
I'm actually going to ask Draymond about that. Would you consider WWE?
I honestly think he'd be, like, as much as everyone like Kittle, and I know Kittle would be good, I think Dre might even be better. Dre is so charismatic in front of a crowd.
510. 510. Kyle Katz business text line. Bronny and Thanasis, the Off Brothers. Oh, I'm not going to read the other one.
There's many unreadables.
Yeah. Trent Nayuk, the holdouts. Guys,
he's full of baloney.
There's a couple of guys, I'm getting personal text, criminally minded, and it's a bunch of individuals who've gotten trouble off the field and the court.
626, Cop Guys Mrs. Text line. Kyle Williams and Ted Ginn Jr. Hands of stone or filthy fingers?
Filthy fingers is good.
That is so good.
2023 Steph and Clay, a team of ice and fire.
I'm not reading that
one. That's funny.
I'm not going to read to 650. I'm not reading that one. You know what I'm talking about. Robert Kraft. Yeah, no, I'm not reading that. Oh, boy. This is.
Trent and Debo would be a combo, right? Because they're the way they come out together with the beatbox.
The boombox,
the beatbox boys. No. And then Charles Haley and Romanowski, unnecessary roughness. That's a great name.
That is a great name.
Right?
Alexi Livermore, before we get to the injury report. Let's go.
What's happening, guys? Hey, for Kelsey and Mahomes, call him the Muppet Show. You know he sounds just like Kermit.
Such a good call. That's good. I like that. Devontae and Randy Moss for Raider fans. The Turncoats. That's a great name.
That's good. They can be both the Benedict Arnold as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, boy. Devontae. Oh, man. Got what he wanted, man. Got what he wanted.
Raider fans should be rooting for the Jets, by the way, because that third-round pick would turn into a second if the Jets make the AFC Championship game. So, let's all root for the Jets. Let's go.
Gosh.
Oh.
The Jets. You got any more?
No, but come on, that was funny.
That was funny. I just can't believe
this.
We had heard Matt Wirtz on, and this guy was doing something else. I'm not even going to.
The OCD, ADHD was just turning in my head. Yeah. The Jeff Clint, Will Clark is an all-timer. Come on, you guys.
I'm not. Oh, my gosh. These.
It's just. Strawberry and malt.
No, I'm just. No, it's not. This is what happens when you do this. That's just. I'm just not going to do this. You know what?
The 707 is a great one.
No,
Draymond and Kyle Shanahan.
No,
the choke artists?
No, come on, man. Come on,
That's all time.
Draymond's a four-time champion.
I know, but we have to laugh a little.
I know, we're talking about, don't put him, that's not fair to Draymond to put him in that conversation.
Well, it's a different kind of a choke artist. That's the whole point.
They're calling J.J. Stokes and Bill Romanowski. The name of the group is Hawk Tua.
Oh.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
San Jose Sharks first overall pick. Macklin Celebrini was placed on IR on Saturday with an impaired hip injury. He's eligible to rejoin the Sharks for their first game, for their game at the Winnipeg Jets Friday. But if he doesn't join the Sharks for the end of the road trip, he'll be able to join them on Sunday when they host the Colorado Avalanche. That is the injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We'll talk to former All-Pro Patrick Peterson, who, of course, is a member of the Odyssey family. We'll break down Chiefs and Niners with him and discuss what makes Andy Reid and Shanahan so good. We'll do that on the other side. Patrick Peterson on the Morning Roast here at 95.7 The Cave.